Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember Wosnoski?
Here.
So I have put together some information on what we have talked about with COPC, so Southeast Area Legislative Transportation Commission Coalition, and we talked about having 169, 518, and Highway 18 on our legislative agendas. And then yesterday at our management meeting, we talked about the Public Works Trust Fund. And Seth said that we need to return the funding from REAP to previous funding levels. So we're going to add that to that. And support common sense revisions to the Growth Management Act. And that came from the AWC legislative agenda. And provide responsive funding for the Criminal Justice Training Center, because when we get a new police officer, we have to wait and wait and wait and then we end up getting trained. And so that was one from, I don't remember, maybe that was AWC also. But then we talked about projects. And so the only project that we really have on our capital improvement plan is the culverts at Covington Creek. So I had Scott put together, Seth and Scott put together this Covington Creek project. So we're thinking about adding that to the bottom. And when we decide if this is what we want to do, then we're going to have Brenda Wordsmith everything and put some pictures in, and then we'll bring it to council to approve the legislative agenda. So it's been like 10 or 12 years since we've had a legislative agenda.
So what Maple Valley did and what Covington did, and that email you sent
them. Yes,
yes. They said these are all what are which
right, and then we want to discuss if we want to support the Aquatic and Recreation Center for Covington, which I think is a really good idea, because they're not looking for money. They just want support so that it's on our legislative agenda, so when we go to Olympia, we can say, you know, we support.
Well, cities support.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And some of them are doing more than just aquatics, and they want their building more.
Right.
Community
recreational. Yeah.
More than just.
So anyway, this Covington Creek project is, this is what it looks like now, and it's in our capital improvement plan, and it's scheduled out over 2020, if we can get funds, but if there was any way we could get funds sooner, we certainly would want to do the construction of this project. So this just shows, you know, that the culverts provide fish passage and high flow events from Lake Sawyer and Covington Creek for the road and wash out the roadway, and the safety of vehicles that have left the road and landed in both Lake Sawyer and Covington Creek. And limited room on the shoulder and roadway profiles. Funding through grants is limited to smaller fixes, such as applying to existing culverts with thermoplastic pipe. And the least expensive option would be slip lining the existing culverts and installing a head wall. A more permanent fix would be a bridge with sidewalk and guardrails. And so,
With the DOT going away from culverts and going to bridges, do they have any, I mean,
no,
is this a typical state thing? We want you to do bridges, but we're not going to give you any money
state.
To do it.
It's state.
Yeah.
I mean, it's federal.
Oh, it's federal.
It's a federal
mandate.
Okay. So the state and the county have not adopted any culvert rules yet.
Okay.
So we're trying to slip in before they adopt some culvert rules. But then if you go to the third page, this is called a Buried Bridge Innovation for Public Works Project. And it's very similar to the wildlife corridor that goes over Highway I-90.
Yep.
It's the same idea. It's how they make the culverts, and it's all, the construction is all the same method, but it would allow us to use a regular roadway and not have to build a bridge. And a public works seminar to talk about this, and this is kind of shows you how they bill that they bring all of these sections in and you put it just put it together and then you put the dirt over it and then you reconstruct your roadway over the top.
But for this area, it's kind of right as after you get around that corner.
I know.
But it's a dangerous corner.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, these pictures show straight the straightaway.
Well, this is the bottom. No, the water main. This is
about
a curve.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to say it needs railing. It needs some
well, that's what's in the description of what we would do. The description on page 2 is to put in bridge, sidewalk, and guardrail. So these culverts, these buried bridge culverts, would be a perfect solution. So they're going to go to Parametric that is working on the design for the we have in the culverts and going to ask if this buried bridge culvert would work. Because there actually was one in a picture that was in an angle just like ours did. So it would probably adapt very well, but we have to have an engineer decide, you know,
doable.
If we could do it. And if that's the case, then when we go to Olympia, we will have some more information to be able to prepare because we're going to change in the design.
And did the last car was like 4 months ago that went in. Did that do some damage in there?
It did.
Yeah.
Construction based on this information that Scott and Seth put together is $1 million to $1.5 million. So, but it's not a project that has anything to do with the development. It doesn't have any other funding sources unless we get grants because we don't have enough money to do it.
Right.
And it's a huge safety project and it might appeal to somebody. So if Paul Graves wins the election, maybe he'd be somebody to go to talk to about who we would talk to about this project. So anyway, I just thought you might want to...
We could get Mullet up, too.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know how much any of you went through the... If we want to call it a legislative agenda, or we want to call it legislative priorities.
It would be good to call it legislative agenda.
That's what everybody else is calling.
Yeah.
You also in your stack stuff, we have these three pick meetings for this one. And we have this I had from the printout and then late this afternoon we came up with another version. We've seen this like 6 times. But this is what the Seattle City Association is doing. My only thought was, we have AWC's legislative agenda, we know some cities association, we know what Maple and Covington are doing. These from AWC and SCA are at you know, the 30,000 foot level. I think we just need to be consistent with our neighboring cities, which we are. And this is the first time that I've ever been involved in anything like this.
No, it's when Hopeful was here, they had a legislative agenda one year, and it was before
we were
it
on.
It was Boss, when Boss was the mayor.
Right.
So that was the only year that they ever had a legislative agenda. So anyway, what I would suggest is since we don't have to, we can just say that we support AWC and SCA's legislative agenda.
I'm good with that.
The one thing that I had made a comment before I came here, under other, it says keep the public works trust fund in working order. That just sounds like poor English to me.
Well,
that's what's in the AWC.
Right. That's what I was talking about earlier, is just changing, return the funding from REIT to previous funding level for the public works trust fund.
Yeah, so like what I was saying is just keep the public works trust fund fully funded.
But I think to small cities, it's really important because big cities have the advantage of getting money for a lot of different places that small cities don't. So the Public Works Trust Fund allows us to get low-interest loans that we can build projects with when, you know, we can't get money anyplace else. When I looked at the Highway 18 thing, and I think I would change this wording because the COTC has it from the Raging River to Issaquah Holbrook Road, and Covington has it from 18 to the Raging River, and I think we should just probably go from Highway 18 to I-90. I mean, from Hobart-Issaquah Road to I-90, because there are segments all along there that need to have
right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the reason that they put Raging River in there is because that's where that project stops right now. So the I-90 to Raging River is a project that's operational now.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the...
Well, yeah, both of them are...
But the Raging River to Issaquah Holbrook Road is more down the road. Down the hill.
It's farther...
It's years away.
Scheduled out farther.
Yes, it's farther away.
And see, I was confused with that, too, because when I was reading it, it's like, okay, is one eastbound and is one westbound?
Well, they just want to widen it.
Oh, I know.
Complete the widening to four lanes.
Yeah, I know what they wanted. I was just...
And some of it is east and some of it's west. There's a land slope
stretch. But why don't we change this from Issaquah Holbrook to
That's what the mayor was saying.
Yeah.
Then we should just take
the whole
yeah. That way it doesn't leave that gap between Issaquah Holbrook and Raging River.
Yeah.
The last thing you want is a bottleneck.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're gonna have
of course. Yeah.
So then the other question that was brought up yesterday is, do we want to support Highway 410 improvements for Enumclaw?
Yes, definitely.
I think we should, even though they don't talk to us much at all.
Who's that?
The city of
Enumclaw.
You know, other than talking to Mike Nelson of the school board, what were the they don't come to like pick meetings anymore. One guy, but they're more engaged with that road too than they are with our issues.
So there's Chris Searcy, their city manager, has been coming to speak for.
Okay. Yeah.
So what do they want to do to 410?
Yeah, well, they need to widen it.
Yeah.
But the problem is that it's part of King County, part of Pierce County, and they need to replace the bridge. And so it's going to be a really expensive project.
And it's the back, you know, my son lives in Ording. So just to leave at 3 o'clock to get to Enumclaw and try to get on 410 just to get into Buckley is at least a 40-minute just trying to merge in to 410.
And
it's
this 162 down in Oregon, heading to Oregon.
Yeah.
I didn't have a chance to read the report. They just did that study. Did they talk? Well, I know that they're already working on the traffic light at Park Street, which is part of the reason for the bottleneck, just because that timing is so wrong, and they're working on that intersection industriously right now. But what did they come up with in the study that they just did?
I don't know.
I didn't have a chance to read it.
But I don't have a problem with partnering with.
We can just say we support any Highway 410 project. We don't have
we
can have a bunch of bullet points that just say we support these people without having to put it in our ours either. Because the Growth Management Act is also in the AWC, and so is the Criminal Justice Center, so we wouldn't. I mean, the Public Works Trust Fund is really important to us. The other two could just be part of the support of
we have citizens that travel south to go to, you know, the new Costco, Target, you know, all the, so I think it's a good idea to support 410 project.
So this statement about the Growth Management Act is a little bit vague. Common sense revisions.
Yes, it was. That's what it was in the AWC, because there was a really high level. But we don't really have to list the last two. We can just say we support
AWC
and SCA.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we just eliminate these two line items. It's just something that came up because we've been doing those Ruckel House sessions, and they're doing that study on the Growth Management Act. But
so what do we need to do to move forward? We just need to set out our statement and organize it the way we want to have it, and then do we submit our legislative agenda to anyone, or does it just become part of our statement of
actually, what from our conversation, I will have Brenda make it beautiful, and it'll just be one page. And then it will be presented to us at the next council meeting that we have it ready, and you will adopt it. And then we send it to SBA and AWC, and we use it at, and send it to COTC.
But it also gives us, when we go down to the AWC, representative action days,
we have our own.
We have our own. When we go to we might even be able to talk to some issues.
When I went to that meeting last year, it did feel a little like a fish out of water, like, I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. But they work so hard, and there's so many people behind the scenes working on all of these details. And if we can put our 2 cents in for what's really important to our community, I think that would really make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then, you know, piggybacking on that, what you've got is what AWC puts on. But then, like, we had a meeting scheduled. I didn't get to go to it because I got Carol off. But the thing is that you schedule meetings with different legislators that can help you push your agenda. So we would be like all three, whoever's the three that you need at that point.
And what they told us in the various meetings that I attended was, you will have 15 minutes to meet with legislators. Okay, well, they don't get many questions. And they said what's really annoying is when somebody comes in to just let hand a lot of handshaking and, you know, hands glad to be here. They said, when you come, ask us for something. The minute you walk in the door, ask us for something. Mm-hmm. And then we can get that in our minds and know what you're talking about, what's important to you. And they said, don't feel like you have to, you know, be like super friendly with us. Just come in and say, we're from Black Diamond. This is what we need.
Here's our legislative agenda.
Yes.
Here's so what we think is important.
If we can prepare for that as we go through, finish out the year, and head down there, we can do anything. That would be good for you. I don't
remember. It was right after they.
But we may want to do a separate one for the culvert project, just because we need to find out who. I mean, this is our overall agenda, and we're supporting, you know, completions of these highways so that we have access and economic development. And,
but this is inside our city.
But this is inside
this
our
is
city.
State versus local.
Yeah. And so we would really like to find out who the people were that would help us with this project.
Will Parametrics have finished their assessment by that?
They're probably pretty cool.
That would be good to keep that in mind if we make a contract with them. We would like to know what we're
Well, and Steph and Scott may want to go with one or two of us to do the one about the culvert.
The culvert, that would be really good.
The smart people.
You know, many of them.
Talking about.
Well, I mean, they know the details and Steph knows how to draw the pictures.
You also need to get buy-in right from the Muckleshoots and Fish and Wildlife on this culvert. And is that something that...
Well, that would be part of the permitting process.
Yeah, but I wonder if, like, the Muckleshoots would help in some way. I don't know.
Well, we could always talk to them beforehand and say, hey, you know, this is our plan. Do you have any objections to it? And then when we bring it up with Regan or whoever above the, you know, in the state level, we could say we've already talked to the Muckleshoots and they don't have a problem with this.
Well, I would think that Scott and Seth talk to the Muckleshoots periodically, don't they? Some of the stuff that's related to coming from the region.
Well, they haven't.
No, not I mean, but they do. They've got a point of contact.
Yeah.
I mean, if Barb. Barb is going to talk to it. No, I think for first go around, this is real good. And the thing is that, you know, this is a state level. So the more we can push the 169, the better off we're all going to be.
Yeah, and to still, you know, I have people ask, you know, what about widening our 169 in Black Diamond? And I just tell people, to do that, you have to get either eminent domain or buy out all the residents and businesses along Highway 169, and that would be devastating for the city of Black Diamond to do so. So that's
well,
just,
I think that some of the projects, it would be nice that the state doesn't think that all intersections have to be roundabout, because I don't know what we're going to do when it comes to Senex and Baker Street, because those don't align.
Right.
And I think that it was talked about a roundabout right there, but I don't know how you get a roundabout.
It's too expensive. I mean, you'd have to take out Black Gold Coffee, you'd have to take out part of the
Senex.
Well, you'd have to take out
Auto Shop.
That holds there on the west side of the highway,
the auto
shop and the pizza place.
Yeah.
So,
and the Cape County. What if
that little corner.
The old firehouse.
Right there,
that's not housing authority.
No, that's not saying that.
Oh, it's not?
There's
green space out here? I thought that was housing.
No, the most of it is, but there's a lot right on the corner that has a for sale sign in it.
Oh, yeah.
Private
that doesn't belong to the housing.
It's a private owner. But it would cut into that.
But,
whole
you know,
spot.
When you start talking about roundabouts, too, because originally 169 and 288 was going to be a stoplight. We need one now. But if they have to put a roundabout with
169 and 288?
Yeah, and Covington Creek right there?
Well, with Ravensdale Creek.
Oh, yeah,
Ravensdale.
Sorry.
That's, I mean, to me, just from a water quality issue, that's a pristine creek that runs through there, and they could really screw it up.
Yep.
And also, just so you know, they're going to close the road on
Saturday. I saw that,
Work on it again.
So I'm assuming they're going to put the non-skid surface on it, because they originally, when they closed, they said in their document, and I didn't go look today, I should have looked, but I didn't look today, but usually they publicize their closures and what they're going to do, and I assume that's what they're probably going to do, because they didn't do the non-skid when they paved it, because they didn't have time, so they just paved it. And I don't know what a non-skid surface is.
Did you notice that when we were driving down there this afternoon, though? I mean, there is a section that's just kind of a washboard. They didn't do a real good job paving.
Well, they would have had to tear the road bed up. All they did was tear one section up. They were going to align it. They didn't align it because they ran out of time because of the strike. So they just paved it. So they paved it over what was already there.
If you drive out of Black Diamond on Roberts Drive and you head toward, there's that big sweeping curve just before you hit Lake Holmes Road, and they have a different surface there.
just chip seal, like we have on the east side of the lake?
I think it's a totally different surface. I asked Seth about it, and he said he looked at it later, but I think that's what they project.
Well, in that road, I mean, in the wintertime, when we get the little ice storms that come through, it's a killer. And we've got a new guardrail there now for that one car. So they're making the needed improvements to that road anyway. So I think that's a good thing.
All right. Are we good?
So this is not a special meeting, so we can bring up other things. So I wanted to just mention that November 6th, we have the dinner meeting with the Enumclaw School District and the Council. And I just wanted to make sure that we're all on the same page because I plan on bringing up the BAS program.
That's the before and after school program at the elementary school. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because they want to take it out. And I'm really not sure why, but they want to discontinue the program in the school when we are tasked with finding someplace else to put it. And so we have looked at the gym and we have looked at the community center. And both of those facilities would have to be sprinklers. They have to have security. They have to have a play yard, fenced play yard. And so it would cost
almost $30,000 to get everything up to grade.
At least $30,000 to get either one of those up to speed, which we don't have.
Right.
And so I want to be able to appeal while the school board is there to the school board that, hey, why are you doing this? Other schools support BAS programs, before and after school programs. They call different things, but in their schools. And why aren't you supporting that? Because it's a huge safety factor having to transport those kids either to the gym or the community center. It would be a huge safety
issue. Do you want
issue.
Your little ones crossing the highway here in the dark?
Nope.
Like that in Enumclaw for their elementary school kids?
No. So Black Diamond is the only school, elementary school in the Enumclaw School District that provides this service. So no other schools in Enumclaw, the elementary level, do this service. So in talking with Mike Nelson, at first he was saying, you know, no other schools do this program. So I made phone calls, and then he had his one of his office people make phone calls, and pretty much every school surrounding us everywhere do a program like this, whether it's run by the city or run by, some of them are run by the YMCA, some are run by the school itself, and others are run by a private entity like the community center. There are schools like Puyallup, or not Puyallup, but Sumner, that are overcrowded, but they still find value in having a program before and after school. And in their area, their students are in the lunchroom. And if there's an activity after school that the lunchroom is being used for, then the students go into either a classroom that's been agreed upon by a teacher, that the students go in there, or they're put into another, like a gym or something, where they, for that one day that they're in there. And then the student or the teacher has a locker that has all their equipment for the before and after school program. So I don't know why the school district can't do something like that. The Black Diamond Elementary School is not overcrowded. At this point, there is empty rooms in there. We haven't had a huge growth where we've got so many students coming in for this next year. So I just think that if we can just get an answer from Mike Nelson and Tina McGann, because she's also in support of moving us out, it would help us understand why we're getting pushed out and why they don't want to work with the community center and the community of Black Diamond to keep that in there.
Didn't you say Puyallup?
Yeah, Puyallup does too.
Yeah, didn't you say that they feel like it teaches kids better by having them in that environment?
Yep.
That they learn they learn better by being in that environment.
Yeah, because they have, so the students are there in the morning, mm-hmm. and they come in with their homework. They also get fed. Mm-hmm. So a lot of students are coming to school without food. These students are getting fed. They're getting help with their homework. They're getting that nurturing part that maybe they're not fully getting at home. Mm-hmm. So it helps at the school level, and it helps, you know, bring up grade levels. It helps the student. And then also it's great for the teachers because teachers have little kiddos too, and it keeps the morale of the teachers up. And parents know that dropping off their kids, they're there. That's where they dropped them off. And the parents are coming and picking them up, and that's where they're picking them up. They're not being bused back and forth. So,
yeah, because if they were in another facility, like at Four Corners, and they would have to be bused to school.
Yeah.
And so you would be making an extra trip with those kids to get them to their school.
Yeah.
That's part of the issue, is that there is no place else in Blackton within the city that they can go. We do not have a daycare. We don't have a Y. We don't have daycare. Is there a home daycare? Is there a not?
We don't have one large enough.
And Montessori has one on the east side of Montessori.
But still, we're talking about right. A different yeah. school district. That's pretty,
you know,
the thing that really irritated me with all of this conversation too in the last few months is that the school district charges the community center for that classroom. They doubled, wasn't it double the rent?
They put it $300 more this last year.
Yeah.
A month.
Which I think is criminal. These are their kids. But it's just like you're black diamond and we don't have anything to do with it.
So what do you know class schools do? What do Kipper kids or JJ Smith or I don't know, JJ doesn't have students anymore, but Winifred, Sunrise, what's the other one? That's right there by Sunrise.
Kibler?
No, over there are two schools over off of
Westwood, Southwood.
Oh, Southwood and Sunrise.
Kibler or Sunrise.
Next door to each other. So what do those families do? Are there enough daycares
Is it a cost thing for the school district? I mean, what's it cost the school district?
So, okay. So my
there, or
the BAS program? Uh-huh. Yeah. So we make sure the kids have breakfast in the morning, so when they get there, you know, because kiddos are getting there pretty early at 6 o'clock, so they have snacks and stuff for them. And, of course, the school also has breakfast. But those kiddos get that, and then at the end of the day, there's also snacks for the kids while they're waiting for their parents to come pick them up for dinner at home. So they get a meal, snacks in the morning and in the afternoon. But also,
wouldn't most of those kids still get a breakfast from the reduced meal program?
They're not necessarily.
If they're part of that program,
yeah,
they're not necessarily.
Right, but what I'm trying to say is they're going to come back to us and say, hey, it costs us this much to put this on. This is why we don't want to do it anymore, right? Because our budgets are tight.
Feeding programs are federal. Those are federally funded programs. So breakfast and lunch at school, those are federal programs.
That's my point, right? So if they come and say it costs us this much to put on, right, then we can say, well, you're already doing parts of this, right? And you get money from the Fed for that, right? So it doesn't really cost you that.
It shouldn't cost the school district anything but utilities and security. Like
but okay, but the thing is with that,
parents still pay for that for those meals.
They're going to heat those classrooms.
Right.
They're still going to have security for the school. There's no single carve-out.
Exactly. That's my point, right?
So,
they have to tell us exactly what it costs them that it wouldn't normally cost them.
They start at 6, and then, yeah, and then as soon as the school opens its doors, the children are then put in. Yeah, the school takes
them
6 o'clock.
Because what I'm wondering is if what happened is they went through their budget, and they saw this thing, and it's only at one school, and it's not actually in Enumclaw. So they, you know, they're like, oh, I'm sure it costs us money. Let's, you know. If we can come back to them and say, actually, it doesn't cost you money. You're probably making money on it because you're charging us for it, and you're getting money from the feds.
It's $500.
A year, a month?
A month. It was 200, it went up to 500.
So they more than doubled the price.
We actually don't have enough information. We can talk about it all we want, but they haven't ever given a reason.
So my understanding at the very beginning when it was announced is that Mike Nelson heard that the Oak Point development out there was booming, it was starting, and they wanted to be ready for this school year, and we had until December of this year, 2018, to get out. Obviously, the Oak Point development didn't bring in hundreds of elementary students, so that wasn't the case. So they extended us to June. They have quite a few empty rooms right now, and they would even have another empty room if they moved the BAS program out of its own classroom and into a storage room and just held it inside the gymnasium or the lunchroom or wherever, or the library.
But wouldn't it be more work for them if they moved it to the gym or someplace? Because don't they have to set up desks and tables and stuff like that?
You would have the tables that the lunch in the lunchroom that are already being used for lunch, so you would just... I'm not sure what kind of tables they have right now, but it used to be just you pull them out.
And then they drop down.
And then you would actually could look at it as the BAS program sets up the lunchroom before the elementary kids get there already. Yeah. And he also, you know, so Mike Nelson was worried about overcrowding. And when I talked to him, I was like, you got to remember these are your kids.
Yeah.
We're not housing kids that don't go to the school district here. These are already your kids. Right. They're already coming into their classrooms and getting ready. So it isn't like we're pushing more children in here.
Right.
But it's unused space. It's a time where nothing else is happening.
It's a space that you're already heating and cooling and, you know.
Securing.
The old school had a gym and a lunchroom combined. Now they've got two rooms that they could move them around where they have accessible tables for those rooms because they use them for different things. So they would have tables and chairs if they needed them. So I just find that it's really hard to understand what the motivation is.
Well, like Tina, why is Tina so good against it?
I have no idea. I haven't gotten a straight answer from Tina or Mike about the reason, other than saying, well, you as a community center, as the BAS program, knew that it wasn't a lifetime, that at any time you could be moved out.
Well, it's not a reason. That's an excuse.
Well, you know, the other thing that needs to happen,
that's not even a good excuse.
The parents of these children need to be at this meeting, too.
And I know.
Or have a school board meeting.
Yeah.
And they need to get up and be...
How many kids are in the program?
About 30.
What we need to do is get the parents to write a letter and have them all sign it.
Right. And show up at a school board.
Yep, exactly.
Not our meeting, because we're going to bring it up, but we don't want to ruin the whole atmosphere of meeting with Eden Claus Council and their school board.
Right.
We just want to bring it up. It's an issue with us,
our
city, that we don't understand it. And we would like the school board to address the issue for us.
Right.
The other part of this whole equation, too, and I see this with we have kids that are in unincorporated King County that come to our school, which is part of the Eden Claus School District. So they're disenfranchising all of these other kids that are out here, too, which isn't right.
I think when I'll miss that board meeting, which I'm sad about because I'm pretty passionate about this issue. I think it's really important. That the council emphasizes how important this is for our community and for our citizens to have this provided here and not just take it away. I mean, we as the community center have tried to find a suitable place, and there just isn't. They're just, you know, it's too expensive, like Mayor Benson said. And the next option would be what
to get a bunch of portables and find land to put them on, to find a house that's one level, that's, you know, got the right square footage, got the right everything, and that's going to cost $300,000. So there just is no sensible way, cost-effective way to move the BASS program. And until I hear from Mike Nelson and Jim again a clear reason why the BASS program can't be in there, I think that the council needs to fight and the mayor to keep it in there.
Do we need to do more information gathering before the November 6th meeting so that we know what we're talking about?
It's actually November 5th.
Is what I
yeah,
thought.
It's a Monday.
Did he tell you?
It's fancy.
Oh, it's fancy.
Her son told her.
I was like, is that like don't wear your mom sweater and mom jeans kind of thing? Or is that a my kids are always like, Dad, don't wear your t-shirt and
right.
tack pants, right?
Right. It's fancy.
So.
But no, I think it's important to speak about that because I know families, personal families that I'm good friends with that have been using the BASS program. Single moms that need that. I mean, they go to work, they hold a full-time job, they use that. That's their life source. That's what they use. I mean, luckily when my kids were younger, I was able to use a at-home daycare of Black Diamond. Both my boys attended to before and after because both shot my work. We didn't have to use the BASS program, but I was glad if it was, if I needed it, it was there. I mean, it's definitely a service for our children and our community.
Yeah, and it's
very
not
important.
Well, yeah. Tammy did some we haven't heard anything from Mike Nelson except he doesn't want to do it anymore. He never can. They won't give us any logical explanation why they don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Do we write him a letter as a council then and say we need to understand your reasoning behind not wanting to support this program any longer?
That we just ask them. We need to have some kind of a substantial reason.
We need to know why to tell our parents, right? I mean, they're their parents too, right? Exactly.
And it's their parents.
It's their parents too. They're not just, they're not just Black Diamond parents. They're part of the Enumclaw School District. These aren't kids we're shipping in that go to a different school. Those kids all go to school in that building.
I think in order to make a really efficient presentation, speak about it, it would be nice to have the letters from parents at that and maybe a letter from the council asking please give us the details of why we can't use this program, and these are some letters backing up why we are supporting this program.
Can you find out who's the
is that something we can get them in time? Okay. I mean, even one or two letters is better than nothing.
Yeah.
And maybe a letter from us council saying we're supporting this program because these are our residents, these are our Enumclaw School District children, these are our families that need this service. And until you guys are in need of that classroom, when it needs to be filled,
why, at 6 a.m.
At 6 a.m. in the morning until whatever, or after school,
it should be never.
It's not, the program is before and after school. It doesn't affect during class time. Right.
I mean, even if they have an event in the gym, there's still a lunchroom.
Mm-hmm.
There's still the library. There's other rooms that could be used.
Exactly. So it'd be nice to have a letter from us supporting the community center, city council, and maybe a couple letters from some of the parents that use that facility and how important it is to their family and their livelihood.
Yeah.
And then, so when we do speak,
and
it's not just
well, and a letter from the
it's also
a letter from the board of the community center, mm-hmm. as well as a letter from some of the parents, right?
Yeah.
If you could get a stack, a letter from 15 parents, 5 parents, it doesn't matter, right? 30 parents would be great, but if you could get letters from all the parents, plus a letter from the board, plus a letter from us,
right.
that would give, they still don't have to listen to us. But.
I think that that big, that many people won't be a conversation time where we'll be able to have a deep conversation that would be powerful to have something
right.
that back and
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And I don't know.
Give them some thud factor.
I think right? It's kind of been in a vacuum that it hasn't been out for the public to know. So I don't even know how much
let's get on Facebook.
Enumclaw School Board knows about this. You know, so I don't know if the whole board knows or if it's just, you know, because all I've talked to is Tina and Mike Nelson. So I don't know. You know, you may go there on the 5th and half that board doesn't know anything about it. So.
Who's the president of the board then?
Because
it's not Tina.
I can't remember. Okay. It isn't Tina.
Some sort of backup to get them. I mean, it's professional and clean. We have backup.
Well, and then also, it's going to be an ocean.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we need to have this as here are the facts.
It would be good if we could address it in a positive manner.
Exactly.
It would not be, you know, a fight. No. But really, right now, as Tammy said, we're in a vacuum. We don't even have an answer. We don't know why.
And they don't talk to us.
But if we specifically ask the question, they won't.
It's been out. It's been out.
Is that the only meeting that we had when I attended with you that one time when he was at that meeting at the community center?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that the last meeting you guys had?
Yeah.
So that's the last information they've given you. And that's
as far as the board goes, as far
right.
as the board.
But they didn't gather much. They basically said, let's find out options. And that was that. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Okay. You need to talk to Cheryl and say you need to write a letter. She needs to write a letter.
That'd be nice.
Agreed.
All right.
Did we... Brenda, did you get a chance to talk to either Bonnie Lake or Buckley or Maple Valley on the income from the cannabis sales?
No, I don't know. May was going to check on that. I don't know if she did
or not. Oh,
that
was May.
That's right. Yeah, I'll check with
cannabis
her,
sales, right? Because remember we brought up the fact that we don't.
Yeah.
So that would be something that you know, would be nice to see,
yeah.
You know, right? Because we have a moratorium right now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it would be nice to get some information before we lift
the
moratorium.
No,
it's not a
moratorium.
There's legal descriptions that goes with moratoriums that you're only supposed to have for like 6 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do we have a reason?
Next Thursday we have a work study on the budget again at 5:30, a special meeting before the regular meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have May get the information presented at that meeting.
Okay.
And I think every city now has a dispensary.
Well, it hasn't been. So the police were worried about the fact that it was a small city and where would you put
marijuana place
away from children. And
well, they've got regulations on how far away it has to be and that kind of stuff, right? We would just have to make sure it follows all state regulations for it, right?
Well, and I think back when this was first voted in, when Marcotten was here, there was only like one circle where a dispensary could go in,
mm-hmm.
and it was basically the building for permanent athletics. And some guy... There was a group that wanted to come in and ask about the manufacturing process.
Even though the church is right next door there?
Yeah.
Well, you can have it near a church. That's not against the regulation.
Yeah. Anyway, well, at that point, you know, we banned it because we didn't want
buds.
That.
But there was buds or something that was over.
But over, what was it?
Ladybuds.
Right there at 76 station, right next door.
Well, they could put it in 10 trails, right?
Yeah.
In the commercial area, right? It'd be far enough away from where the schools plan to be. That was the other thing. Did we hear anything from the commercial leasing agent? I talked to them at the last harvest thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said they need to come to, one, I told 10 trails they need to come and give us updates, but I told the leasing agent they need to come and talk to us. Maybe we can help them, or maybe we can steer them in the right direction or the wrong direction, or not in the wrong direction for commercial businesses.
For that reason, they are not wanting to share the people that they have talked to.
Well, I think that they don't like to share until they sign a lease agreement, right?
From what I know, there's no even paperwork, like a notice of intent to do anything, or whatever they call it.
Right.
talking, but there hasn't been much action.
I don't think they're going to get any until they get some houses sold.
They have the building, and they need to get the building permits.
Well, they have the... They have the plans and the permits, right? But they have, they're not going to build any commercial stuff there until there's people living there, right?
No, I don't know about that.
No, they're supposed to start the commercial stuff here soon.
Yeah.
Because then that would hopefully bring in more people to want to live in there because of the commercial.
The other part of that equation, too, is there's more people that don't live in Tent Trails that are going to go and shop there.
So the conversation I had with the people, they were leaning, they kind of hedged more that they were waiting for more activity to happen in Tent Trails.
Well,
there's some
businesses
that do.
You get different, you have a conversation with Brian Ross or Colin Lund, and you get one version or two versions, and we talked about, it's the first time I've ever seen any of those people there.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
So I think we just, they need to have to you know, when you look at the plans, I've been in Andy's office, and you look at the plans, you can tell that there's going to be a restaurant here, and there's going to be this here, and there's going to be that there. So, just by...
We didn't get the NHL practice?
No.
Dang it.
No Amazon.
No Amazon.
No Amazon, no Boeing. No Google.
No Google.
Google. But, no, the thing is that when you look at the plans that Andy was provided,
right.
How many bathrooms are going in here? What's the, you need a, the grease separator. Okay, that's a big clue that there's a restaurant.
Yep. So do we have to, so on the back to the cannabis stuff, right? Once we find out if May has found out what the, we know revenue. That it's, the revenue is positive, right? Uh-huh. Do what do we have to do with David to make any changes to the current law?
Well,
so we need to have a discussion, right? But if we decide to rescind that law or change it so we can have cannabis facilities, and we would have to talk about whether we want to, what does the current the law say? Does it say sales or does it say manufacture and whatever? Or?
And, you know, back when
and the medical dispensary is separate from the sales.
Well, there are no medical anymore,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They went the way of the dodo with the 502.
Yeah. Yeah,
so it's all through alcohol
all
and cannabis board.
That's
right, which is too bad because now the medical folks pay more for it than they used to.
Yeah.
So I think that if you, if the council wanted to have a work study discussion on this, and we were able to find out what other cities are doing, what is in their books, what their rules are,
mm-hmm.
that would be a good way to help us understand what direction we would want to go if that was a direction to go in to open it up in Black Diamond.
And we wouldn't even have to have a formal work study. You can have your discussion with the meeting. You
can do it at the next work session.
Yep.
We're going to have one next week, and it'll be the one the week after. So we're going to have them almost every week until the budget's approved.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's nice to have a discussion at a table like this than it is trying to see each other far apart.
So just need to... Because Brenda said she'll make sure that May has the stuff for the next
Thank
meeting.
You.
So.
Thank you, Brenda. Yeah, I mean, from my point of view, right, if the other cities are all doing it and aren't having issues with it, right, and they're making money off it, we're really leaving money on the table that we could be putting
because
in our coffers
citizens,
for other things.
Because your citizens are going there.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing, too, Carol had told me that when that passed,
it was like 51% voted for
Here in
Black Diamond.
And that's changed. I mean, that number has just gone up, right? Now the national number for legalization is at like 67% or 71% or something like that, right?
I mean,
so,
my personal opinion, I don't like it. I don't want to be around it.
Right, but
it makes me physically ill. But maybe it's time to look, put a fiscal hat on. We know it's not going to be a big problem like alcohol.
Right. So the libertarian in me says, right, even if I don't approve of it, right, it's not my right to say you can't do it, right? And if we're leaving money on the table, right, that's a disservice to our citizens, right? So if we can do it in a way that doesn't disturb the peacefulness of Black Diamond, then we should look at that if it's another income stream that we can look at.
With that being said, I would like to see
see it not in 10 trails, if that was the case. Because I feel like that's too close to families, parks, schools, things. I think it's too industrial. I think the look that they're looking for their commercial is more of those maha shops hang outside. I wouldn't want to go to 10 trails and go buy my cannabis in this cutesy little downtown 10 trails. If I choose to buy my cannabis, I'm going to want to go to somewhere
on the highway.
On the highway, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like if for a liquor store to be, like, right downtown, I don't know. For me, I feel like if you're going to have that, the revenue's great, and
I'm not saying it has to be in 10 trails. I'm just saying.
Two storage units that are going to have storefronts.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right north of the
and what's going across from 10 trails? Because when I talked to the retail folks, they mentioned future retail space across from 10 trails.
Or they also mentioned, you mean that corner right there?
They didn't say where. They just said across outside of 10 trails, but across the way.
I thought that was,
you mean the north side of Roberts Drive?
I would think that's probably where they're talking about. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, at some point, I was told that that's where the multifamily dwellings were going to be.
They've changed their
plan.
So what
they
changed
their plan. I just have one more thing. I would agree that if you want to be on
sorry. My place is too full.
No, and I understand that. But I also, there's just a bunch of stuff here that some are quarterly meetings, some are monthly. Tammy and I are in the public issues committee meeting. I would like to encourage all of you guys, if you would like to come with me to see what it's like. But I think it's time for January to pass the baton so that you all know.
My schedule is a little more flexible now, so
and
I could do some more of this stuff.
Evening